This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Good morning, Jenny Hoy. How are you?
Thank you.
Look, another thing that Joy and that we really like to follow on this show is HIV and the different communities it impacts and how it impacts them, you know, PrEP. And, you know, we've had the announcements from the federal opposition about what they want to do with PrEP if they're elected. But an issue that sort of bubbles a bit below the surface is HIV and ageing, with, you know, some positive people dealing with HIV for decades, haven't they, Jenny? So some of these people are ageing, and there's particular issues that come up there.
Yes, that is correct. I think that those that have been living with HIV for about 20 or 30 years, unfortunately, are experiencing the legacy of some of our older drugs that we used for HIV infection that, while at the time were useful in keeping people alive until the next better drug came along, but they also had some fairly serious side effects that have basically continued for many individuals.
So some of those side effects, you know, are pretty invasive, aren't they? They're pretty fundamental to quality of life.
They are. The very long-term effects on metabolism and the increased rates of diabetes and cardiovascular disease and osteoporosis and kidney problems are really causing a bit of a toll on our patients who have been living with HIV for a very long time. The newer drugs we've got don't appear to have those bad side effects at this point. So, we haven't been exposed to the newer integrase inhibitors for the same time as we have with the older drugs. But at this point, the newer drugs that we're using look to be so much easier for people to take. It's one pill once a day for most people, with minimal side effects for the majority. That's not everybody. Some people do get side effects to the new drugs, but they are so much better than what we had 20, 30 years ago.
Now, one of the challenges, Jenny and Fiona and I were talking about this before the program, that people that have lived with HIV for a very long time, decades, a number of those people might have cashed out their super or come to an arrangement with their life insurance. And what's happened is they're living a lot longer. So not only are they living with, you know, the side effects from their medication, there's a financial situation that for some of these people is not ideal, isn't there?
Yes, this is very true, that many people resign from their jobs thinking that they only had one or two years to live and didn't really go back into the workforce. Also, some were very unwell and unable to work for many years, but now, you know, they're fitter, but they can't get back into the workforce.
Yeah.
And they are living on benefits, and with the extra illnesses, like needing to take a statin for high cholesterol and medication for blood pressure, et cetera, there's more expenses just with dealing with health. And it is very tough for many of our patients.
So, Jenny, we're now in the age of PrEP, and, you know, whilst HIV is still you know, a serious health issue. Certainly in other parts of the world at a much greater level than Australia. What do you focus on now in terms of the of your research, looking to the future? What are the issues that you're looking at?
So me personally, my research is based on looking at trying to prevent or better manage some of these illnesses of ageing. They're variously called serious non-AIDS events or, you know, premature ageing. But my particular focus is on osteoporosis and also on cardiovascular disease. So we look at, should we institute prevention strategies a lot earlier? Should we change the antiretrovirals that might be increasing the risk of osteoporosis or cardiovascular disease? So they're the sorts of things that I'm doing.
And that's, look, that's really important work because there's a huge number. You'd have a handle on the figure, but I would suggest it's in the thousands.
So there's 5,500 people living with HIV in Victoria currently.
Wow.
And over 50% of them are over 50 years of age, which, much to my distress, is now called old.
Oh, I know. I know.
And
you're in good company there.
There are 2,500 aging people living with HIV in Victoria. So we need to look out for them. We need to look at how we can ensure that they have really good quality of life.
So Jenny, just a quick question there.
For the years they have remaining.
So there's obviously a lot of people in Victoria and in Australia, but obviously this is an issue affecting many people around the world. Is there much collaboration or communication between the different parts of the world in terms of the best ways to treat HIV patients into their older years?
So there are collaborations going on. A lot of the collaborations at the moment are between what we would call well-resourced countries. But it is now becoming very evident that in the resource-limited setting, for example, in Africa, in Asia, Southeast Asia, the illnesses associated with ageing are becoming much more prominent. As more and more people get access to antiretroviral therapy and live longer, they also have the same problem that we're seeing here. And the other thing that we mustn't forget is that there are lifestyle factors that contribute to many of these illnesses of ageing, and, for example, smoking. And smoking increases your risk of cancer, of lung disease, of cardiovascular disease, of osteoporosis, of almost everything. And people living with HIV smoke at rates that are over double that of the general population. Mm. Now, back in the early days of HIV, we didn't concentrate on getting people to stop smoking because there were few pleasures in life in those days.
Yeah.
But now we're really on people's backs to try and give up smoking to try and prevent these illnesses. Now, it's the same in the resource-limited setting. Rates of smoking are incredibly high in people who live with HIV. So just simple things like cessation of smoking. And it's been shown that if you stop smoking, your risk of heart disease living with HIV reduces. Mm. So we've shown that. We've just got to get people to do it, and it's so hard.
And I suppose, Jenny, one of the challenges here, and I remember from the past when the AIDS Council and as it was then, people living with HIV/AIDS ran campaigns to help people give up smoking, and people used to say, "Yeah, but you know, like it ain't the cigarettes that are going to take me." And of course, now as they've lived longer, doing that is certainly becoming a bit of an incubator for some of these diseases. I want to ask though, Jenny, these general diseases of ageing, and with the general community as well living longer, the demand on services in that sector is only, you know, is increasing.
How do
positive folk, how do they fare in access to those services?
Look, I think what we've realised, if I can bring it back to where I work, which is at the Alfred.
Yep, sure.
We recognised very early on that there was increased rates of all of these illnesses and that we really needed to do something about it. And it's infectious diseases doctors that are looking after people with...
Right.
In the hospital setting, not in general practice. In general practice, the GPs are much more attuned to measuring blood pressures, treating hypertension, looking at cholesterol, etc. So as an infectious diseases doctor, I had to get my colleagues to become general physicians again.
Okay.
And to remember and to learn about how to prevent and manage all of these illnesses in, you know, the 2000s. So we have done that. We've re-educated, I guess, our clinicians. We also have recognised that some people need more specialist help, and we have a specific HIV complex metabolic clinic where we have an endocrinologist and a general physician and a renal physician. And so people that are referred to that clinic are seen by the dietitian, the nurse, the pharmacist, the specialist, and they have a very global assessment and management plan made for their complex illnesses. So that's the way we've dealt with it at the Alfred. Yeah.
Now that's great. Great. The Alfred, you know, is an absolute leader in this field. Unfortunately, Jenny, we've run out of time. Always great to chat with you. I want to thank you for your work, and particularly around this issue, HIV and ageing. And as you said, there's 2,500 thereabouts folk in Victoria over 50 with HIV.
Yeah.
And it's great that you're doing the work and that it seems to be attracting a good level of resource, which we always like. Never enough, of course, but thank you for your work over many, many, many years. It's very valuable. And thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Mecca.
Been a pleasure.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.